Welcome to another episode in the Neon Jazz interview series. This episode is with modern jazz pianist Chris Bowers. This young cat is well-versed in jazz, hip-hop, and many other genres of music. After winning the Thelonious Monk International Jazz Competition in piano, he received some exposure and released a tasty new album called Heroes Plus Misfits. Over the course of our interview, he spoke openly about doing what Miles Davis might be doing these days, his future plans, growing up in L.A., and much more. Enjoy.
Hey, man, thanks for taking a little time out and talking with us. We really appreciate it.
Oh, definitely. No problem.
Hey, let me go ahead and start off here and just kind of give me a condensed version of what's been going on with you lately.
Right now I'm working on the score for a Kobe Bryant documentary that comes out on Showtime in actually a couple of weeks in February. And so I've really been focusing on that for the last couple of months. And yeah, just doing a bit of touring. I did some touring in the fall and winter for my album, and doing a little bit more touring in the spring, and going to put out a new project probably sometime around April, put out like an EP, and then a full-length album in the fall.
Right on. So let me kind of get to the beginnings of your life and the roots of who you are. You grew up in L.A. What was it about the time that you were growing up in L.A. that really cultivated not only your love of music, but your love of jazz as well?
I guess the schools I went to, there happened to be some really great music programs here in Los Angeles. You have my high school that I went to was an arts high school, and it puts out some of the greatest young jazz musicians in the last, I think it's been around for 30 years, but Gretchen Parlato went there, Carol Queen went there. There's a number of other really talented young musicians that come out of that school, and other fields as well, dance and acting and so forth. And so I think that was a big help because I met a lot of people that were in my age group that were playing this music and were serious about it, and really helped not only give me a good practice and a place to play, but also just it was great to have people my own age that I could relate to about something besides, you know, just being a kid.
Yeah, right, absolutely. So talk to me a little bit about your family. How influential were they on your playing and wanting to get into music?
Well, they definitely kind of decided. They're not musicians at all, but for some reason, before I was even born, they decided that they wanted me to play piano. And so they actually did the whole, you know, they put headphones on my mom's stomach, the different piano players. And it was some random piano sampler they found at a store. But they just, for some reason, have always felt that the arts are important. And so that was really great because they were, they would find, they were the ones that found these schools for me to go to and found teachers for me to study with, and drove me all around the city to different things and performances and rehearsals and whatnot, and were really strict about me practicing every day, and got me into the habit of not doing anything else until I had practiced a sufficient amount of time.
So you pretty much answered my next question, which was, why did you pick the piano, but you didn't, your folks did. So are you happy now that you're, piano is your gig? Are you happy that that's your instrument, or do you ever look at another instrument and think, man, I'd like to pick that up?
I mean, I'm definitely happy that piano is my instrument. It's like, it's a, it's the instrument that you kind of need to know, even if you play another instrument, because it's the only instrument where you can really play both harmony and melodies at the same time, so it's great for songwriting and things like that. And, they call it an orchestra for a reason. There's so much you can do with it, so much sound you can get out of it, and so much you can do for writing. So with all the writing that I do, it's great that I play piano. But I mean, I still pick up other instruments. I try to learn them, especially for film scoring. Like right now, I'm trying to teach myself bass and guitar so I can get enough to at least let down demos or whatnot, and drums and things like that. Those are also good instruments to learn, so I'm trying to pick up some other things.
Sure. I always hear from musicians that the piano is their first choice when they have a song. That's where they sit down to start laying it out. Is that kind of a true thing?
Yeah, I think, yeah, because, again, you can play the chord and the melody at the same time. You can't really do that. Even on guitar, it's hard to do that. You either have to play the chords and, you know, hum the melody or play the melody or play small chords with the melody. But the piano, you can really visualize and hear everything in its completeness.
Absolutely. So I always hear that there's this one album or one musician that people hear in jazz that just trips every music light in the universe in their brain. Is there a musician or an album that you listen to jazz-wise that you were like, man, that is it?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. When I first heard Oscar Peterson when I was younger, I was just kind of blown away. It's funny because there's the legend goes that Oscar Peterson first heard Art Tatum and gave up the piano for a few months because he figured he could never play like that. And I didn't give up the piano, but I definitely felt that way when I heard him, because he's just incredible. It's kind of one of those things that you just, like, laugh at because it's so impressive. So he's definitely one of the first piano players that I heard that made me go, I want to be able to try to do something like that.
Right on. So a lot of doors opened up for you when you won first place in the Thelonious Monk International Jazz Competition. What was that like? What, when you won it, the day after and since then, what changed? How did your life change?
Well, you know, it just kind of puts you up on this this platform. You know, I think, luckily for me, before then, I was already starting to play with people and starting to get my name out there, but that definitely takes it to another level. And actually, I think I did a tour with, I recorded and did a tour with Marcus Milder the following year, and I think the reason why he heard of me was because of the Monk competition. I think he was looking for a piano player, and somebody mentioned that I just won. So he figured he'd give me a call. And also the record label, or the record deal that comes with winning, is something, because it kind of demands you to try to be an artist. You know, I think until then, I wasn't, I'd always thought about putting out an album, or, you know, eventually I would try to be a band leader or whatnot, but having a record deal kind of makes you step up to that, and so that was kind of pretty great to have to do.
Yeah, right on. So, you grew up in L.A., you cut your teeth for some time in New York. What was that like? Was there a culture shock? Did you really embrace New York? How'd you feel about it?
Yeah, I love New York. I mean, again, my high school was so intense because it was this arts high school where there was as much, if not more, focus on your art than academics, actually. And so by the time I got to New York, I went to Juilliard, and the rigorous nature of the school and the high demand was kind of normal to me. Like, I wasn't fazed by the fact that I had to learn, you know, X amount of songs in 1 week, or, you know, be able to do this and balance whatever homework you have to do. And so I think that was a good prep for me. So I wasn't too shocked. I mean, I think the biggest shock was just the weather. Other than that, I really took to it pretty immediately.
You've been playing with a lot of people, you know, in both jazz and in the in all kinds of different genres, you know, from Kanye West to Jay-Z. Who do you really want to pick the phone up from? Who would you love to have call you up and say, man, let's go in the studio, let's go on the road, let's do this? Is there anyone you're looking forward to?
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of people. Even though I've met him and I know him and I've played with him, in some contexts I've never seriously worked with him. I've always been a fan of Terrence Blanchard.
Yeah.
He's definitely somebody I'd love to work with. And then there's more, like, people more in the contemporary music world, like Kendrick Lamar I would love to work with, or Pharrell. I've met him and kind of worked with him before, but I'd love to do it in a more serious capacity. You know, somebody like Stevie Wonder, or, yeah, those kind of people for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So Heroes and Misfits is getting a lot of good ink. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I'm pretty pleasantly surprised. You know, it's definitely one of those things that when you make your first album, it's kind of like you're putting your entire life into, you know, music form, because there's no album before that, so this is your first time, and you're trying to cram everything that you kind of have developed so far into one statement. So it was kind of, it's, you know, you're putting a baby out into the world, so it was nice to see that it was responded to well.
You know, I love the album, and I get the feeling, I'm a big Miles Davis fan, that maybe this is what you're doing now is possibly what Miles Davis would be doing if he was around these days. Do you think that might be an accurate statement?
Yeah, I mean, I think as far as conceptually, I definitely think so. I mean, you know, before he passed, he was supposed to do an album with Jimi Hendrix, and like, he was already working with hip hop artists and obviously different rock artists and stuff like that in the late '70s or early '70s. So yeah, I think he's one of my idols as far as that's concerned, because he seems to be good at not only looking for ways to progress and move forward with his sound, but also constantly surrounding himself with people that are going to do that. Like, the thing about him is that the reason why he was so relevant in all these different eras of music is because he had such a good eye and ear for other artists, and he would surround himself with these other people that kind of took him to that next place. And so I think that was really important, and I think that's something that I would love to continue to do.
You know, I'll ask a lot of musicians what they think jazz is going to sound like 30 to 50 years from now, and I get a lot of responses, but it kind of always comes back to, I'm just not sure. I think with you, we're getting a pretty definitive answer. Do you feel like what you're doing with crossing and stitching genres together is the way jazz, say Miles, the way he was doing it? Do you think this is a very natural evolution of the craft?
Yeah, I think it's a natural evolution of music in general. If you look at any genre right now, I feel like all genres are kind of blending. We're in a generation where I love listening to Miles and Herbie and stuff like that, but I also love listening to, again, Kendrick Lamar, Kanye, or Grizzly Bear, or Bon Iver, and all these different bands and artists of my day. And so, of course, I'm going to include those sounds in the music that I create. And so, but again, I think there are so many people in other genres that are into different things that when they create music, they're not thinking of, how am I going to exist within this framework that someone set up? You know, it's more so just, I'm going to make music, and if somebody wants to call that jazz, that's cool. Somebody wants to call it alternative, that's cool. Like, it's more so just about creating the music without creating those boundaries of what it's going to be.
Who are your heroes?
Again, like Miles, Herbie, Stevie Wonder, Bob Dylan, Jimi Hendrix, the Beatles, James Baldwin. Yeah, that's a handful of...
What's the greatest thing about waking up every day?
To be able to, I don't know, make something new. I like the fact that I'm fortunate enough to do what I love when I wake up for my job, and doing what I love happens to encompass making something new pretty much every day. And so I kind of like that journey, because it leaves every day for as a surprise. You know, you never know what you're gonna create or what road is gonna lead you down, and so that's kind of been really fun.
So let's say we catch back up in about 10 years from now. We do a recap interview. I figure out what you've been doing. What do you want to have done in, you know, 10 years from now, 15 years from now? What's on your radar?
Definitely more film scoring. I've only done a few films right now, but hopefully doing more and bigger films and, you know, putting out a couple more albums. But I think the bigger thing is to, I actually would rather be, or find a way to have a pretty strong balance between being a reputable film composer as well as an artist that people look for with their own music. So trying to find a balance between that, but having
right on. So we're kind of coming from the cradle of jazz here in Kansas City, and for my audience, they would be really curious. Do you have any plans on touring, coming through town?
I would love to. I've never been to Kansas City before, and you know, it's such, like you said, it's such a, had such a history there, and there's such a, there was such a sound back in the day, like, you know, Count Basie and like that era of music, and so it would be great to see that and to spend time there. But I've never been, so hopefully when we put together a U.S. tour later this year, we can find a way to get down there.
Right on. Let me ask you this final question in the length of brevity here, a tweet. Tell me who you are.
I don't know. That's a hard one. I guess I was just an optimistic, creative individual.
That's perfect, man. Chris, you're an amazing talent. Thank you very much for your time and continued success.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to yet another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in New York, Kansas City, and spots all over the USA, giving fans all that jazz. And thanks to Mr. Chris Bowers for his insight and stories. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Dimino on the iTunes Store, or you can always visit theneonjazz.blogspot.com for all things Neon Jazz. Until next time, enjoy the music, my friends.
Neon Jazz.